Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, church. You can go ahead and take a seat. Wow, it is such an honor to be here this morning with Pneuma Melbourne East. I've heard it's the best Pneuma campus going around. Amen. I just love Pastor JJ and Pastor Paulina and their family. And I've only just been able to connect with Pastor JJ just this year, but in every interaction that I've had with him, it has been so evident that he is a man on fire and they are a family on fire. And I just want to honor you guys and thank you for being so sensitive to the Holy Spirit and for following those whispers of heaven. And in the first service this morning, I felt like the Lord just put a word on my heart for them that I'd love to share in this service as well, that Pastor JJ and his family have an anointing like Joshua on their lives. And Joshua was a man of God in the Bible who was anointed to lead the people of God into the promise of God. And I feel like there's such an anointing on you guys to lead this church and part of the Pneuma family globally into the promises of God for the church moving forward. And the Lord showed me a picture of Joshua in the tent with Moses, because the Bible says that Joshua lingered at the tent long after Moses had gone, which was where the presence of God was. And I felt like the Lord was saying, you are a family who know how to linger at the tent, how to linger in the presence of God, how to just get that oil of anointing dripping all over you guys. But also Joshua was not just a man who knew how to linger at the tent, but who knew how to be bold and courageous. And you have this dual anointing of a hunger for the presence of God, the manifest glory of God, but also the boldness and courageousness to go and the courage to go and take hold of the promises of God for your lives and also for the church family. And I just saw there was 31 kings that Joshua had to defeat to take hold of the promised land. And I feel like you guys are in that battle zone. There's 31 kings that are needing to be taken down time after time. The spiritual warfare is happening and I'm getting some nods from the front row right now. And I just felt to release this word in both services because I just wanted to honor you guys, and I wanted as a church for us to honor you guys for the spiritual weight that you are carrying and for leading the charge in those spiritual battles. And I know you don't do it in your own strength. You are ones who obviously walk from the victory and the position of the strength and authority of the Holy Spirit. But we as a church family, we honor you and we thank you for just surrendering your lives to be led by the Holy Spirit and to be out on the forefront for us so that we could take hold of the promises of God. So can we just honor our pastors and thank them, love on them, bless them. Thank you guys so much. It's such an honor to be with you guys here this morning. If we've never met before, my name's Layla Nahavandi. I'm half Iranian and half Irish. Was born into a Muslim family. My mum actually converted to Islam to marry my dad. And we got radically saved in the early 90s when I was 5 years old. And we got saved through a neighbor who shared the gospel with my mum. My dad had a radical encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I won't share the entire story here this morning because I got to share my testimony last time I was here at East. But I would love to say this morning that I am so thankful that Jesus saved us, and I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to us. Is anyone thankful for your relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the Father this morning? He is so good and he is so worthy of all honor and glory and praise. And I lead a ministry that's called the Burning Hearts Movement. And it is inspired out of Luke chapter 24, where the disciples were on the road to Emmaus and they were walking with Jesus, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us and he shared the scriptures with us? And so my ministry is really to see the world awakened to the reality of Jesus Christ and the church awakened to the reality of that first love fire for Jesus. And the Lord has been opening amazing doors across the nations, but specifically in Europe and in the Middle East. Only a month or two ago, I was in Dallas, in Texas, and via satellite, I was able to preach the gospel to 7 million people in Iran. And it's a nation that's completely closed to the gospel. And God is moving in powerful ways. God is opening doors for our ministry to really reach the unreached, and especially in that sort of 10:40 window. So I'd love it if you think of us, please pray for us. Please pray for the ministry. Please pray for the work that God is doing through us. Church, this morning I'm excited to share the word, to jump on board with your Open Heaven series. And the word that I felt the Lord drop in my spirit was rainy with a chance of revival. Rainy with a chance of revival. We're going to read from 1 Kings chapter 18 this morning. And I believe the forecast is in, and it is Holy Spirit rainy with a chance of revival in our lives. And the reason why I say a chance of revival is because I believe that the Lord is waiting on each and every one of us to move. I believe that there is something that each and every one of us can do to partner with that open heaven over our lives. And I really want to speak into that this morning, this afternoon now. Friday night, I played my first ever pickleball game, tournament in Geelong. And I don't know if you have heard of pickleball. Give me a wave if you've heard of pickleball, some people. It's kind of like a cross between table tennis, badminton, and tennis. And I am absolutely obsessed with this sport. I went to play in Geelong, and the guy who was running the tournament, running the league, was speaking with a bit of an accent. And I've just recently moved to Germany. I moved to Germany in April this year. I'm based over there. Awakening Church is home over there, but Numa Church is home for me when I'm in Australia. But I was there, and there was this guy who had this German accent. And so he was running the league, and I just said, "Oh, excuse me, are you from Germany?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And I was like, "Oh, no way, that's amazing. I've just moved to Germany in April this year." And in true German fashion, he said, "That's nice," and walked away. All right, he didn't want anything to do with me or anything to do with whatever I was wanting to tell him. But later on in the night, he came back to me and he said, "Oh, so where are you living in Germany?" And I was like, "Oh, it's this really tiny little village. You probably have never heard of it. It's this little place on the border of France and Switzerland and Germany, and it's called Eimeldingen." And all of a sudden, this German man's eyes went wide as saucers and his mouth dropped. He's like, "No, what are the chances? That's where I grew up. Right there is where I grew up." And I was just thinking to myself, I got to share with him about what I'm doing over there, the church, everything that's going on. And I was thinking to myself, wow, I wonder what the Lord wants to do in this man's life. Because I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in God incidents. And when we see God incidents take place in our lives, I believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to grab our attention. I don't know if you ever watched the TV show in the 90s called Touched by an Angel. I loved that show when I was a child. But basically, the whole idea of this TV show, Touched by an Angel, was that these angels would be sent on assignment to sort of infiltrate a situation and reveal heaven's agenda to a particular person in that situation, in that episode. And I believe the same is true for every single one of us here this morning, that every person filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit, is sent on assignment to partner with the open heaven over our lives and recognize what assignments he has for us in every moment, every day, every week, every month, every year, everywhere that he sends us. He sends us with an assignment to partner with the open heaven over our lives. So how do we partner with this open heaven over our lives? I'd love if you could read with me from 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. It says, "After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." I just want to pause there for a moment because it's interesting that God says to Elijah, "Go and present yourself." Because a little while earlier, God was telling Elijah, "Go and hide yourself." But now it was time to present himself. I think this shows us that when there is an open heaven over your life, there is a time to hide yourself in the secret place with the Lord and download strategies and encounters from heaven. But there is also a time to present yourself front and center in the assignment and the purpose that God has for you. Discernment and obedience, they help us to move with the Lord's pace and his timing in order to partner with the open heaven over our lives. Let's jump down to verse 41 to 46. It says, "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain.' So Ahab went off to eat and to drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. 'Go and look toward the sea,' he told his servant. And he went up and looked. 'There is nothing there,' he said. Seven times Elijah said, 'Go back.' The seventh time the servant reported, 'A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea.' So Elijah said, 'Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you.' Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds and wind rose and heavy rain started falling. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel." In this passage of scripture, we see that the Lord spoke to Elijah. He gave Elijah a word. He said that he was going to bring the rain. And Elijah heard this sound of an abundance of rain. He goes up to the top of Mount Carmel. He puts his face between his knees. He gets down and he prays for the rain to come. But here comes the plot twist. This is the unusual part of the story. When he prays for the rain to come, the rain doesn't come. So Elijah gets back down on his knees and he prays a second time. Still, there's no rain. He prays a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time. Still no rain. And by this time, I reckon that Elijah could be forgiven for thinking, "Hey, maybe I've missed it. Maybe I didn't hear the word of the Lord. Maybe God doesn't want to send the rain." But instead, he wasn't discouraged. He got back down on his knees and he put his face between his knees and prayed one more time, a seventh time, that God would bring the rain. This time the report comes back and the servant tells him, "Hey, Elijah, there is something. There is a little tiny cloud the size of a man's hand that's rising up over the sea, but you sort of blink and you would miss it." And Elijah, instead of being discouraged by the small results, he starts to run down the mountain, empowered by the Holy Spirit to outrun the chariots. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. He runs to the next town and God sends the rain. I believe that God is calling us out of this story from Elijah. He is calling us to also be people who'd be invited into partnering with the plans and the purposes of God for our lives. He would also teach us through Elijah's story that God wants to bring revival and he has this sound of abundance of rain. He teaches us that when God wants to bring revival in a particular place, when God wants to do something in a particular place, he looks for men and women who'll make it rain. I believe this morning that the Lord is searching our hearts and searching the earth. He is looking for people who would say, yes, Lord, I want to be one like Elijah. I want to be one who makes it rain. Obviously, God is the one who brings the rain, but Elijah partnered with the open heaven over his life to see a land that was in drought for 3 years receive an abundance of rain. Between the word that Elijah heard and the rain that he received, there was a showdown with the enemy, a sacrifice on a mountain, a test of faith, fire from heaven, a bad day for Baal worshippers, a meeting with the world's worst boss, 6 prayers with no visible result, and a cloud the size of a man's hand. I think this morning that Elijah has something to teach every single one of us about what it's like to partner with the open heaven over our lives. How do we partner with the open heaven over our lives? The first thing we learn from Elijah is that we need to be people who hear the sound. People who hear the sound. Verse 1 says, and Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. Elijah heard the sound. Nobody else could hear it, but Elijah could hear it because Elijah was a man of God who knew how to cut through the noise and hear the purposes and the desires of the heart of God. I believe that the Lord is calling us to be those who hear the sound, who know how to cut through the noise of the world around us and hear the plans, the purposes, the desires, the heartbeat of God in our lives. I was in Brisbane this week. My little nephew, he's 1 year old and he lives up in Brisbane. He doesn't live by himself. He lives with his parents, but he lives over there in Brisbane. And I was sitting with my nephew on the couch and I was just doing life with the family. And as I was sitting with him, he brought me a book to read to him. And he can't really say that much. I was preparing a message to preach this morning and it was raining with the chance of revival on 1 Kings chapter 18. He can't really say that much, but he started to open this book that I'd never seen before in my life, didn't even know it existed. And he starts going, wow, wow, as he opens the different pages. And I'm like, what's that book? And I went to the front cover and it was a book for children all about 1 Kings chapter 18. The book was entitled When God Sends the Rain. When God sends the rain. The day God sends the rain. And I was looking at this book and all of a sudden as my nephew is going, wow, wow, I'm like, wow, wow, God, you're speaking even here with my little nephew as we're sitting on the couch. And it reminded me this morning that, hey, it doesn't have to be complicated. We don't have to go and live in a day spa 24/7 to hear the sound of the voice of God. We don't need to live in some monastery away from everything to cut out the noise. No, when we open the Word of God, when we spend time in the presence of God, when we spend time in prayer and we spend time in worship, it's like we're putting on these noise-canceling headphones that cut through the noise of the world and tap into the sound of heaven. There is a sound of rain over your business. There is a sound of rain over your family. There is a sound of rain over the assignment that God has called you to. And God is calling us to partner with the open heaven over our lives and hear the sound that He wants to release. The second thing we learn from Elijah is that if we want to be people who partner with this open heaven over our lives, we need to pray with perseverance. Pray with perseverance. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 42 says, so Ahab went off to eat and to drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and he bent down and put his face between his knees. He said, go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and he looked. There is nothing there, he said. 7 times Elijah said, go back. Elijah got down on his knees and he prayed with perseverance until what God said became what he saw. He prayed with perseverance until what God said became what he saw. You know, in the Pentecostal movement, we have a long heritage of people who prayed with perseverance until what God said became what they saw. I remember as a child going to these all-night prayer meetings. I don't know if anyone remembers these all-night tarrying meetings, especially on the turn of the year, on New Year's Eve. You would go to this New Year's Eve party, and the New Year's Eve party was a Holy Ghost party where you would pray all night, and you would pray into the early hours of the new year. The generation that's gone before was a generation who knew how to pray with perseverance until what God said became what they saw. And I pray that that revelation would not be lost on this generation. I pray that it would be said of our generation that we were people who knew how to pray with perseverance until what God said became what we saw. What has God spoken to you? What is he asking you to pray with perseverance over? The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous avails much. It carries great power. We need to be people who know how to pray with power. I love that this passage of scripture shows us that when Elijah prayed, he was not shaken by what he saw, but he was moved by what he heard. I believe that the Lord is stirring us not to be people who are shaken by the things that we see, but to be moved by what we hear. Prayer is the connection point where realities collide. Prayer is the place where heaven's realities collide with earth's realities. When we are shaken by what we see, earth's realities begin to consume us and take over. But when we are moved by what we hear, heaven's realities begin to consume us and take over our circumstances and situations. I feel to encourage us this morning, church, not to be distracted by what we see, not to be distracted by even the small results of the cloud, the size of a man's hand, but to be moved by the sound that we hear of an abundance of rain. The third and final thing that we learn from Elijah, maybe if the worship team could join us. The third thing we learn from Elijah, if we want to partner with the open heaven over our lives, is that we need to run with the wind. Verse 46 says, "The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel." Now this run, it might not seem significant to us when we listen to it and we hear the story, we read it in the Bible, we're like, yeah, he outran the chariots down Mount Carmel and he ran off to the next city ahead of the chariots. I don't know about you, but I can't run faster than a horse that is galloping at full strength. He is running a supernatural race. He is running with the wind. He is running with the power of the Holy Spirit, doing something he could not do in his own strength, in his own ability. But as the Holy Spirit rushed upon him, the Bible says he began to run. He ran with the wind. And as he ran with the wind, he started to do something that he couldn't do in his own strength. I believe this morning that the Lord is calling us to be people who partner with that open heaven over our lives, but it is not something that can be accomplished in our own strength, church. The assignment that God has put over your life, the things that he has called you to, it's not something that you can do with your own strength, with your own gifts, with your own abilities. It might feel overwhelming to you. Hey, I know, I am overwhelmed by the call of God on my life. I am a Muslim convert, technically. I was born Muslim. I'm going into these Muslim nations. I could be martyred next year. I feel overwhelmed by the call of God on my life. Do you feel overwhelmed by what God's calling you to? Do you feel overwhelmed by the plans and the purposes of God? Join the club. We are not supposed to feel like we can do this in our own strength. We are not supposed to feel like we have the power to do it ourselves. But when we run with the wind, we start to do things that we couldn't do in our own strength. The anointing of God grabs hold of us, grips us, and we do things that bring rain on the earth, that bring the rain of heaven into the circumstances and situations where God has called us to bring the rain. Church, if we want to partner with the open heaven over our lives this morning, I believe that it is time to run with the wind. It is time to run with the wind. I was preaching in Germany last year at a church called Gospel Forum Church. It's a great church, a large church in Germany. And the church is about 100 years old. And the pastor said to me while I was there, he's like, Layla, do you want to know how this church got started? And I'm a history major. I'm doing my PhD in theology. I nerd out on all that sort of stuff. So I was like, yes, please tell me. I'm like waiting to write down the story because I love this stuff so much. And he starts telling me the story. He's like, it's a great one. You're going to love it. And he said, about 100 years ago, almost 100 years ago in the 1930s, this lady named Paula Gassner was in a revival meeting with Stephen and George Jeffreys in England. She wasn't a preacher. She wasn't a pastor. She didn't do any of that sort of stuff. She'd never been up on a platform doing any of that. But she was just in the meetings and she got touched by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit came and anointed her and empowered her. And all of a sudden she heard this sound. And the sound was God speaking to her to tell her to go to Germany, to move to Stuttgart. And she was like, what? Why am I going over to Stuttgart? Why am I going to Germany? But she was obedient to the sound. She was obedient to the voice of God and she went. And as she was there, she just started to share the love of Jesus with people. She started to preach the gospel on the streets. And she got to know that there was one guy who was sort of a bit of a menace in their little area where they were. And he was in a wheelchair, but he was an alcoholic and he would cause trouble. One day she sees this guy and he's just on the road, just going to wherever he was going. And she yells out to him. She's like, excuse me. She doesn't know what's going to happen. She's like, hey, can I pray for you? And he's like, okay, yeah, sure you can pray for me. She goes over, she crosses the road, she lays hands on him and she prays for him. She prays for his legs. She prays for his salvation. And all of a sudden, this guy just gets up out of his wheelchair and he's like, what just happened? What the heck? She is like just as shocked as he is. She's like, I don't know. This is crazy. God has healed you. God healed his ear as well. And so he's in so much shock that both of them walk back to his house. They're pushing his wheelchair back, and as they get back to his house, his family is like, what is going on here? Like, is this the end of the world? Like, is this some alternate reality? He walks into the household, she shares the gospel with the whole family, and every single one of them gets saved because this is just wild what's going on in their house. They start a church in that man's house, and today that is Gospel Forum Church in Stuttgart. Thousands of people are part of this church today. Not only has this church shaken the nation of Germany, but Reinhard Bonnke, when he would go back and forth between Germany and Africa, this church was heavily partnered with the ministry in Africa, and so they shook the nations and saw millions and millions of people come to Christ. All because of one woman who ran with the wind. All because of one woman who heard the sound, who persevered in prayer, who was anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit and ran with the wind into the plan, the purpose, the calling of God for her lives. Church, I believe today that we do not have time to waste. It is time to run with the wind. It is time to partner with that open heaven over our lives and be propelled into the plans and purposes of God for us. I want to finish with this passage of scripture from James chapter 5. It says in James 5 verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. For 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. What I love about this passage of scripture is that it says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. It doesn't say Elijah was some sort of superhero, super Christian. doesn't say that Elijah was a man who prayed in the prayer closet 12 hours a day, only coming out for meals and hygiene reasons. No, it says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, but yet he saw God move in supernatural, powerful, earth-shaking ways. I believe this morning that God wants to encourage us that he can use every single one of us to see the supernatural power of God released in powerful, earth-changing, earth-shaking ways. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, so how did he partner with the open heaven over his life? Yes, he heard the sound. Yes, he persevered in prayer. Yes, he ran with the wind, but I believe that there is something deeper that was at the center of it all. The foundation for Elijah, I believe that we see from the beginning to the end of his life, was that he was a man with a highly flammable heart. When he got in the presence of God, anytime he got in the presence of God, discouragement, disappointment, all of these weariness and these things began to fall off of him, and he got on fire with the plans and the purposes of God. See, between the time he sends the word and the time he sends the rain, our hearts have a tendency with our nature to become discouraged, to become disappointed, to be distracted. But God wants us to have these highly flammable hearts. What happens when something is highly flammable? It gets in the presence of fire and everything changes. Something that's highly flammable is not resistant to the fire. It catches fire. I believe this morning that the Lord wants to set our hearts on fire afresh so we can partner with that open heaven over our lives. You know, my prayer this whole week has been, God, give me a highly flammable heart. God, give me a heart that burns for you. I want to be so hungry for you, Lord God, so hungry for your word, so hungry for your revelation, your presence, the things of God. I don't want to be distracted by the things of this world. Give me a highly flammable heart. That is something that God can do in our hearts. We can't do it on our own. We can't stir a hunger on our own. We need him to ignite that passion, that devotion, that first love fire in our hearts. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed in this room today, you might be sitting here and you'd say, Layla, I don't know Jesus like you know Jesus. I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You might say, hey, Layla, if I was to die tonight, I don't know whether I would end up in heaven or in hell. I don't know if I have peace with God. I want to tell you, friend, this morning, today is the day of salvation. I want to share the most important invitation with you this morning that anyone could ever receive, and that is the invitation to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior this morning. The Bible says that every single person has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the Bible also says that the free gift of salvation is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we will be saved. We will be on our way to heaven, but we will also experience heaven on earth here and now as we come into relationship with a holy God. As all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed in this room this morning, if you would say, Layla, that's me, I need to pray a prayer of salvation. Maybe you once did pray this prayer of salvation. You feel distant from the Lord this morning and you just feel like you don't have peace with God this morning. You want to come back to him this morning. Then with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to invite you on the count of three just to lift up your hands to heaven. And I would love to pray for you. One, two, three. Awesome. I see that hand. Awesome. Anybody else in this room this morning, you want to surrender your heart and your life to Jesus this morning? You want to make him the Lord and Savior of your life? Anybody want to join this person who's given their life to Jesus today? Pray this prayer of salvation. It's the most important decision we could ever make. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, could you bow your heads and pray with me? Pray this prayer after me. And to that person who raised your hand this morning, I encourage you to pray this prayer from your heart directly to Jesus this morning. Can we pray together? Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I thank you for dying on a cross,
for dying on the cross,
to save me from my sin.
To save me from my sins.
I acknowledge that I am a sinner, in need of a Savior. And I acknowledge that you, Lord Jesus, are the only one who can save me. This morning I give you my life.
I give you my
heart.
And I invite you, Holy Spirit,
to fill me and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Can we stand to our feet?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.